Hello, hello, and welcome to the Paisley Penny Arcade. I'm Mo, I'm the proprietor of the place. And how are you? Today is May the 22nd of 2024. Howie kazowie. That's 70 years after the day I was born. Well, not the day, but the year I was born. And what a trip that is. Holy moly. 70 years. Yes, indeed. Appreciate every day, my friends. I don't think people appreciate that enough. How are you? I hope you're doing well. I hope life is treating you excellently, and I mean excellently. Got a few things I want to talk about today. I don't think people understand the brilliance of this existence of ours, the absolute joy of life. And yes, it can be hard, it can be, quite a snoid attack, frankly. But there are things that are... I saw Jeremy Renner on the TV today. And you may know who Jeremy Renner is. He's been an actor and for quite a while, and he played Hawkeye in the Marvel movies, you know, with Thor and Captain America, and so on and so forth. Black Widow and so on. And he had 38 bones broken. 38 bones. And that's significant. That is a significant amount of bonage breakage. Bonage breakage. Well, that's good enough. And that's pretty rough stuff when you have that many bones broken. Hi, Trudy. That's Trudy in the background. And you'll be hearing her bark, I'm guessing, every now and then, because that's what she does. She's a dog. And she's an excellent dog. And as far as dogs go that are excellent, she is maybe the most excellent of them all. That says me. I love her very, very much. So he had 38 bones broken in a snowcat accident. Terrible story. He was trying to plow his driveway for he and his family. They live in the mountains, and it was snowy. You can look it up. Yeah, 38 bones. And a lot of people might not have made it. But he's got an incredible attitude, and he was in the hospital for quite a while, as you might imagine. And when he got home, someone said, "Ava's here." And he said, "Ava, your daughter." And he had forgotten he had a daughter because he was so drugged up and in pretty bad shape, as you can well imagine. And she was, of course, quite hysterical. He had her on the weekends, and he said, "Don't worry, bones mend, and they mend relatively quickly." And so he got better and better, and then he decided he had to get back to work. So he's remarkably better after breaking 38 bones. And he still, of course, is going to have residuals. And, I mean, you just don't get over something like that too fast. I was in a cast for 6 weeks when I was 12 years old because it was my one and only attempt at skiing. And I just tore ligaments. But there it was. And I still have issues with that knee today. Not as many as the other knee, which did not get hurt. But he said, "Today, I will never have another bad day as long as I live." And I thought, God almighty, what an attitude. That is absolutely remarkable. Now, I imagine he may have some bad days. Because there are things that happen to other people, but I know what he's talking about. That he will never have another day that he doesn't wake up and say, thank goodness I'm here. Thank goodness I'm alive. Thank goodness. And I've had those thoughts in my life. I've had some low times in my life. I've had some real close scrapes with the Grim Reaper. It was not all that grim, by the way. Actually very welcoming and warm. And I'm not advocating, you know, finding that route, because I don't, you know, I'm not anxious for that, because I love life too much. I'm an advocate for living. I'm an advocate for weather. Even if it's lousy, as we say, I'm fond of weather. I'm fond of blue skies, and I know that we're defiling this gorgeous earth of ours, which is a miracle to me. Do you know the odds of our species surviving on this planet? Do you know the odds of the sun and moon being the same relative size? Exact same relative size. Do you know that in a few thousand years that the sun and moon will not be the same relative size, and therefore we won't have solar eclipses and lunar eclipses the way they appear now? They'll all be annular, right? So, I mean, there are some things going on that are very, very happy coincidences. Some people will say, well, they're not coincidental at all, Mo. They're exactly the way they're supposed to be. That's creaky, my chair. They're exactly the way they're... And that, I say that because people every now and then, they say, you know, there's something going on there with Mo. I'm old, but I'm not that old. It's not my bones creaking or something else going on that people have accused me of, like... Did Mo eat too many of those, beans? Yeah, well. So anyway, life is a remarkable gift. It's a remarkable... I mean, what are the odds of you being you? Why, 1 in 8 or 9 billion people, right? You are unique. You are a bit of a miracle. Un miracle, or un miracle. Un miracle. French class. Took French class for like 8 or 9 years and all. Yeah. So, now one of the reasons why this is on my mind so much is I had a wonderful experience this weekend. I called a meeting of the Born Abdelbakis. Now, that's not my siblings who were born Abdelbakis. My kids, my son and daughter, who were born Abdelbakis. And they still are, actually, to this date. And I said, look, I haven't seen you guys and your families all in one place in 6 years. 6 years, and that's because of illness, because of COVID, because of other diseases, RSV, STP, CIA, FBI, you know, those things. And they've been sick a lot. It's been a lot of sickness, and it just so happened that everyone was healthy at the same time, which has not happened in 6 years. It all came together just about the time of my birthday. I said, so you know what? We're going to meet at this incredibly busy Mexican restaurant, and I want us all to be there. And everyone showed up. My 5 grandkids, the eldest of which is 25, and the youngest of which are my twin brothers, my twin grandsons, who are 4. And I said, all right. And in between there's some there. And I said, okay, so this is what's going to happen. We're gonna get together. We're going to talk. We're going to eat. And their respective spouses and, you know, friends. And it was as gratifying an event as anything I've had or imagined in a long, long time. It was lovely. It was really lovely. And hugs all the way around. All the way around. Just lots of hugs. and lots of kisses and lots of, you know. And now my hearing is, even with hearing aids, you know, you get into this really very popular restaurant on a Sunday, and it was loud. The acoustics in that place are just about horrible. And so, and I was sitting kind of in a dead zone, so to speak. I didn't end up sitting across from, I ended up sitting across from my four-year-old grandson, who was very busy looking at a phone and eating with a spoon. So I really didn't get to talk to anybody, which was okay. But I was just there, and I was enjoying it, and it was loud. And so I was just kind of basking in the glow of the energies, because I can feel energies. And the energies were wonderful. They were wonderful. Got to talk to my son and daughter a little bit, and it was just phenomenally good. There was a good aura about the whole thing, you know? My 25-year-old granddaughter is a pediatric oncology nurse. Yeah, man. And at first, she said she hated the job, even though she sought it out. But now she loves it. She loves it. And just remarkable stuff. And I walked away from that just glowing, glowing. And I felt good about my life. I felt, and I thought, because, you know, for a while I was thinking, all right, so here I am now, 70 years old. What have I got to show for it? Well, that's what I had to show for it. I didn't do it alone, mind you. I'm not parthenogenic, you know. But it was just one of those things. One of those things. And you think to yourself, this is life. This is life. 12 people at that table, including me. 12 people at that table. Because I just kind of said, I want to do this. And they said, you betcha. We're happy to be there. And they were really happy to be there. And I was more than happy. I was ecstatic. And I thought, that's good. That's a really good thing. That's one part of getting old. You get to see something that inadvertently, you know, without any real thought really that went into it, you create something. And it's in kind of in spite of yourself. But what went into that was a lot of love. I love my kids beyond comprehension. There are no words to express how much I love my kids. No words. How much I love my grandchildren. No words. And anyone that they love, in return, in extension, I love as well. Anyone that makes them happy. Anyone that is in their lives, that makes their lives enhanced, I love. And that's kind of the way life is for me. I believe in love. I believe in peace. And I believe that anything that brings about peace and love is a good thing. I believe that completely. I believe that forever. So here I am at a place in my life where every day to me is hopefully an aspect of that, of peace and love, where everything has an essence of goodness in it, if I can have any say over it, if I can make that happen. I write my columns in the Power Peak, hopefully, to bring something good into the world. I do this radio show. Radio, can you imagine that? Hopefully to bring some good into the world. I do my podcast, which is called Out of Mo's Mind, which is available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify Podcasts and just about every podcast station there is. Buzzsprout is where they originate from, but they're just everywhere. Pandora and iHeart and all that stuff. And last week they had a bunch of listen-tos. I don't know why. But suddenly, kaboom, a lot of them. I did the ones on Soul FM. I did those. I didn't get paid for them. I thought I was going to, but it didn't turn out that way, which is fine, because I did them, regardless of anything else, sincerely from the heart, hoping that people would like them, hoping that people would get something out of them, and I heard that they did. How to be happy? Because, you know what? Bottom line, I'm happy. So that's one way to look at life, and I'm still feeling great about the ability I had to see my whole family for the first time in 6 years. You know, because my wife has a compromised immune system. She's 75. She didn't make a big deal about turning 70 because she didn't want to make a big deal out of it. But I feel blessed. I feel like it's something to celebrate because it's a different decade. And I feel like that decade, I was once driving. Now, you know, once upon a time in Nevada, Nevada, they didn't have a speed limit. And boy, was that far out, you know. My parents owned a Chrysler. I can't remember the model, but it was a big gold car that they had. And we drove from Colorado to California. And in that car was my Aunt Crom, my grandmother, who was a nice lady, my brothers, was my baby sister alive then? Maybe, probably not. She might have been. But my mom and my dad and me, moi, myself. And I love to drive. I've always loved to drive. So we would get into Nevada, and that was back when the speed limit was 70 anyway on the highways. It was before that whole 55 mile an hour thing. And we had cruise control on that car. And you'd get out on that highway on the desert, and you could drive pretty near 100 miles an hour. And I was never really comfortable with that. So I'd keep it out about 90 miles an hour. Because you got a carload full of people who are family that you love, and you don't want to go too crazy, you know. And I'd get passed by people. Now, my mother would have no trouble at all at Mach 1, Mach 2, you know. If she could have taken it off the ground, she would have quite easily. But I drove. You know, I wanted to make sure we arrived. But it was safe to take it at 90, 95, and it was okay. You know, you could just, there was just no speed limit. And cops would watch you zoom by, and they were fine with it because they didn't feel like getting out of their cars and, you know, doing anything. And there were these feelings sometimes I'd get on the desert when it was just miles and miles and miles of nothing but a sagebrush or two and an iguana, not an iguana, gecko, I don't know what type of lizards, Gila monster. And you could see mirages, but it was just the most peaceful, wonderful feeling as you're just zooming down that desert. And that's kind of what 70 feels like to me. And I realize I may not make it out of 70. There is a possibility that I won't make it past 70, you know, age-wise. I make it through the 70s. I think I'll make it well past 70, but I might not make it to 80. There is that potential. I know that. But there is something so peaceful to me about having made it this far. The 60s were turbulent, you know, because you're thinking, okay, I got to make it through into Medicare, and I got to do this, and I have to blah, blah, blah. But in the 70s, just open highway, and I just love that feeling. There's something really restful about it. Maybe I'll write a book. Maybe I'll do this. Maybe I'll do that. I just love the way it feels, and I feel so, and I think this is how life should feel for everybody, even though you're still working, maybe. maybe you're still, I'm still working, you know, I'm still doing things. I have to. I picked a path that necessitates it. A lot of people I went to high school with, yep, me and the wife, we're going around the world again, you know. Yep, me and my husband, we just got back from Venice, where we took pictures of, you know, the place where so-and-so did this. And a friend of mine, we talk every couple of weeks. He just got back from Tuscany. And it's like, wow. And they walked 6 to 10 miles a day. It's like, wow, wonderful, you know. And that's lovely, but not me. I don't feel bitter about it. I don't feel upset about it. That's good for him and his wife. I think it's lovely they did that. I'm kind of lazy, you know. I just rather not. Last time I went to a baseball game, which was a few years ago, I got heat stroke. Because I drank a couple of beers and sat and scored the game. Went back, you know, when the game was over and passed out. Thunk-a-thunk, you know. I can watch it on TV. I can score the game in my chair with my feet raised. And I don't drink beer anymore. God, I'm so boring. Oh, my God. I would drink a one without alcohol. That's pretty good stuff. Even that, I just, like, I have to go to the store and buy, just drink water. That's good enough. See, boring, boring, boring. But the truth of the matter is, life is beautiful. So here's a point. So yesterday I went out to lunch with a friend of mine. I've known this guy for 55 years. 55 years. Met him when I was 17, or 15 rather, 15. He was 15, I was 15. Met him in high school. So first year in high school, sophomores. Sophomoric, as a matter of fact. But good old Bill. Known Bill for most of my life, you know. And Bill's a good guy. He's a good guy. He's been thick and thin. We've known each other for a long, long time. We've had he's known me before I grew a beard, when I had hair on the top of my head. He knew me through my freak years. Before I was a freak, he knew me. I was always weird, but he knew me before I... he knew me before a lot of things. Yes, he did. And he saw me through a lot of times. And he was always listened to anything that was going on in my life. You know, just a great confidant. So yesterday we had lunch and we're talking. We have a fondness for Indian food, Bill and I. And then he asked me if I would help him by going to be a witness and sign as his witness his will. He's going to sign his will, have it notarized. I said, of course. Okay. Yeah, and he had another witness. So we went and did that. And he's been, I think, not, you know, I won't say too much, but just, you know, he doesn't have the same kind of view of life that I do, maybe. So did that and walked out of the place where it would have been notarized, and he said, now I can die. And I thought, what? What are you talking about, man? And he said, well, we disagree on that. And I said, yeah, I'm gonna ride this Bronco until it bucks me off. He said, we do disagree on that. You see, which would you rather be? Would you rather be a me or a he? And I would hope that you would say I'd rather be a Mo, you know? Than someone who looks at life and says, I'm ready. You know, I'm ready. He said he's been compelled to get his will settled up. And, you know, he's smart in that because, He's thinking about the inevitable, I suppose, but come on. I think that now I can die? I mean, that really, and he's, you know, I didn't like the way that sounded. I don't in a heartbeat, because he's got more grandkids than I do. And he's got these lovely daughters who adore him. I mean, let's not view life that way. We've all had our disappointments in life. We've all had our ideas of what life should be and could be. And they don't always come out. I mean, I have had real disappointments in my life, like you have, like everybody has. I have discovered things about people that I thought were in my corner, who were not only not in my corner, but were kind of destroying my corner. I have thought that people were faithful to me who were not, who were completely antithetical to the concept of being faithful, who were, in fact, wow. Have you ever had a friend that you thought you knew real well who you later on find out was completely and totally lying from the very beginning? It's like that song by the Jefferson Airplane. When the truth is found to be lies and all the joy within you dies, don't you want somebody to love? And, you know, there are some people who can't relate to that. But boy, the first time I ever heard that song, 1966 or something like that, 67, it rang true to me because I had been hurt at a very young age, you know, by people who I thought were my friends who weren't. You know, when you have friends in school who make fun of you, or you have, you know, a family member who you think should have your back who doesn't, when you get picked on for no reason at all other than the way your hair looks, or you get glasses at an early age, or some kid on the playground who just picks on you, and you don't know why. You can't figure it out, you know? Or you believe in something fervently. You believe in something fervently only to discover that it's not real. It just isn't real. There's nothing real about it. When the truth is found to be lies. I mean, have you ever had unrequited love? You know, you think you know what's going on. Maybe it's requited for a while. You know, it's given back to you. And have you ever had someone actually approach you and come on to you and you think, wow, this is really nice. I'm very flattered. And you're approached and you say, yes, oh, wow, yea, verily, this is, you know, really sweet. And you fall, and you fall hard. And you think, this is lovely, marvelous. Only to have it become unmarvelous. You know. And your heart is broken. It's rent asunder, you know. You just feel horrid. When the truth is found to be lies and all the joy within you dies, and you just think, God Almighty, how am I going to make it through this? My generation had a lot of that because the world, we were sold a world that was just, you know, butterflies and daisies and, you know, and that wasn't it. That just wasn't what it was. So, yeah, it was weird. So, you go through life And sometimes you blame other people for your problems. Sometimes you blame other people when in fact it's your fault. I have realized that at my age. In the last few weeks, I have had a number of startling but absolutely true revelations where I've realized that I've been responsible for a lot of my own problems. I've been responsible for a lot of my own issues, and how easy it is to pin the blame in life on others, you know. And sure, you may have had a marriage, let's say, to someone who was duplicitous, or someone who was really, you know, as rough as an old Model T engine. But the truth is, did you pursue that person? Why then? Why did you? I've done a lot of soul searching, and part of it may be that you were programmed to pursue such a person. There are so many possibilities, and I've been thinking a lot about these things. So when you get to that open highway that I've arrived two. When you get to that place, then there really isn't a whole lot to do but just gun it, you know? Just put it on cruise control and enjoy the ride, and that's what I'm feeling. But I don't think you have to wait until you're my age to do it. I think it's important to begin the process earlier than that. I've been working on myself constantly as long as I can remember. I suppose under the guise of studying metaphysics, it has always seemed to me that the study of Tarot is the study of the self. See, I created my deck, the deck that I use, based upon my understanding of the cards. You should create your own deck someday. It sounds like a lot of hard work. It is. And the thing is, you don't have to be an artist to do it. I'm kind of an artist. The deck I'm using a lot now is my psychedelic deck, which I just love, if I do say so myself. It's wild, you know. It's really kind of wild. And it's not a Tarot deck, it's a Kipper deck. And I'm not going to explain what that is right now, but it's wild. But I understand it. Maybe someday I'll discuss that. Maybe someday I'll teach it. But I got my Tarot deck here. So if I were to pick a card, and I read reversals because I think they tell a lot, because when you work enough with cards, you begin to understand them. They make themselves evident to you. But basically, it's your life experience that helps you with Tarot. So I'm going to turn over a card here, and the card is the Princess of Cups. Okay? And so the Princess of Cups to me, and the way I drew her is she's blue, but it's also she's standing like in an ice field. But there's an iceberg in back of her, an ice mountain. And it's snowing. And it's cold. And she's a hippie chick, you know. She reminds me very much of Janis Joplin, as a matter of fact. And the reason for that, she's very cool. She's from that era. But the reason for that, to me, is because she's... The Princess of Cups is... I know this girl. I remember this girl. You've met this girl, emotional, deeply desirable. It doesn't have to be a person, but in my experience, this energy is something that you want, but ultimately is an ideal, and you can't really grasp it because they're not there for long, you know? It would take too long to really describe all the aspects of it, but they are an ideal, and they are everybody's. Desire, so to speak. Not everyone liked Janis Joplin, of course, but there was something about her that was special, if you're of that era, right? I know someone who just said, I can't stand her voice. And I said, well, that's because you weren't there. Not that you had to be there to recognize who she was. Sure, she went out for a long time with a guy named Pigpen, Rod McKernan, who was he was a member of the Grateful Dead, and they were very close together. She didn't do LSD, which was the sacrament of many of the people of that time, and neither did McKernan, neither did Pigpen. They were both alcoholics. And essentially, alcohol killed them both. Really a terrible thing, you know. We were a self-destructive generation. I went through that stage. I went through that stage of self-destruction, and thank goodness I didn't self-destruct. I made it. But a lot of us did. I knew people who didn't make it. And it was it goes back to that lyric, when the truth is found to be lies, you know? And I went through that stage, and I there were times when I might not have made it. So you pick up this card, any card in the tarot deck, but when I see this deck, I think of the vulnerability within all of us, the emotional vulnerability within all of us, and what we did with that vulnerability. We chilled it down. We made it ice cold in order to survive. You know, not everyone, but I sure knew a lot of people who did. Pick another card. Here's the Jack of Wands. Interesting, you know. And I drew my Jack of Wands as a guy with his arms spread out on fire with a pumpkin head, you know. And he's charred the ground around him. And he's a jack-o'-lantern. He's the jack-o'-lantern, you see. Jack of the Lantern. And I won't get into the mythology of the Jack of the Lantern, but he's fiery and he's impetuous. And if you get too close to him, right? And so that's one aspect of who we can be. The Jack of the Lantern used to guide. Well, I guess I am going to get into it. Used to guide the spirits of the departed across the veil on Samhain. They would guide them to the Heaven's Gate so that they could make their way through that gate and then ascend. But the veil was very thin on Samhain. And so they would end up back in their villages, you know, grab a bite to eat, head home. On that thin veil. There's a lot more to it than that, but so when you these cards, they become a part of you. And that's what's so powerful about tarot. Because when you create your own deck, you're working through your life. My Five of Wands is five cops with riot sticks, you know, which is a reflection of my time in New Orleans and my second Mardi Gras. And you think about that time and you think about the trip you took there, you know, down to it. I wasn't tripping there. My Ace of Swords is a Saturn V rocket heading to the moon. You know, Apollo 11. You just do that. And that's why the creation of your own tarot deck was a part of the Golden Dawn. It was you're basically your PhD. You know, it's what they did. You had to prove that you could defend it. My Two of Wands, Dominion, is a magician on stage with a wand, a magic wand, and in the orchestra pit is a conductor conducting the orchestra. And each one has a wand, but they work together. And they do it to create basically illusions. Music and the wand to misdirect. I love that. But I've been a musician and I've been a magician, you know, on stage. So these are parts of my life. And so all of it is part of understanding yourself. And when you get into, if you've ever done any magic, well, that's learning about yourself as well. Because you learn about the ethics of it, and you learn about what are you capable of, and what are you capable of? Can you do it? And if you can do it, what do you learn about yourself when it works or doesn't work? You know, there's a lot to think about. First time it works, you think, you know, great hunk, am I ever going to do this again? Well, that's something to think about, right? Metaphysics is an incredible way to discover who you are. Art of any kind is a wonderful way to discover who you are, what your life work is. I wish I had some of my mom's ceramic work that she did. She was brilliant at it. She never threw a piece on a wheel. It was all by hand. Pinch pots, you know, and she was so good at it, and they were unbelievably well done, but they all, I think, showed who she was. We are creative beings, and everything we create, regardless of what it is, divulges who we are. I've discovered a long time ago, but I keep discovering it, and that is that the I Ching is flawless in its ability to speak to us regardless of the method used to contact it. I recently, you know, bought some I Ching dice that have Chinese, you know, the Chinese names for the trigrams on it. And the first one the first question I asked, unbelievable. I was literally stunned. I was stunned by the answer I received. It just shocked me because it was so incredibly right on. It nothing else would have fit. And all it does is it gives you two trigrams and a moving line with a third die that has Chinese numbers on it, you know. And someone on Etsy was selling a set for like $60, and you know, you can get it through Walmart for like $3, but they charge shipping. But on Amazon I got it for like $9. You can get it for $9. And it's like, oh, far out. You know, I'll try this because I'm curious. And I was thinking I was just going to use regular, you know, octahedron. But I have like 30 different ways of contacting the I Ching. And every single one of them works accurately. And so what it proves is that if you come to an oracle with sincerity and you know how to ask the question properly, it'll answer you. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter whether it's Euro stocks or Chinese coins or English pennies or American pennies or, you know, Australian pennies with kangaroos on one side. It's simply, and that's what they had at one time, it does not matter. Or Canadian loonies. I love those. I should get some of those if they still make them. It doesn't matter. There is a genius to divination that is so wonderful. And this is the life that we live in. This is the universe we live in. How can you not be overjoyed? So to hear my friend say, now I can die, broke my heart. And I've offered him readings, teaching him this and that, and he just, nah. You know, he believes in it. He absolutely believes in it. This is much too valuable to squander. It's much too valuable not to grab with both ears and draw to you and give it a big kiss on the lips. Life is exciting. And I know many people are, like, really afraid right now. People are afraid of politics. People are afraid of domestic policy. People are afraid of foreign policy. I was a history major in college. And I studied a lot of weird stuff. I saw a lot of, you know, and you read about it and you go, wow. Well, luckily this can't happen again. And a lot of it kind of can happen again. You realize that. But life is incredibly beautiful. Incredibly beautiful. You have to grab it. You have to grasp it. You can have contingency plans. You can be an expatriate if you want. I don't see anything wrong with being decisive and saying, if X happens, then Y and Z are my next stop. There's nothing wrong with that. But do it. Be decisive. I don't think it's going to happen, by the way. I've been sure of that for a long, long, long time. There are times when you just see the glow of truth. And you understand that gravity is always going to have its effect. If you know what I mean. Life is so worth living. And it is so joyous. If I can impart anything to you, it's to enjoy your life. It's to wake up every morning, no matter how tough it can be, and I know it can be tough. I have tough times. Trust me. But just say, I believe in the power of attraction. And I believe that things can be good. You know? There is goodness in the world. There are good people in the world. The week before, my wife and I were going to go get a hamburger at a place that serves hamburgers. The real thing they serve is fries. Wonderful French fries. And she probably wouldn't be happy if she knew that I told you this, but she doesn't listen to the show. She gets enough of old Mo anyway. So I, like a, you know, a dodo, I turned around and I was heading for the door. She has terrible knees, bad knees. And suddenly I She wasn't there. I turned around and she was on the ground. She fell, lost her balance and fell. And I just was horrified, you know, horrified. And thought, oh my God, this is not going to be good, because I don't, you know, wasn't sure that I could pick her up by myself. Suddenly, out of nowhere, seemingly, two guys are right there, helping me to pick her up. Not even a question. They were right there. Boom, we picked her up. They made sure she was okay. You know? And the one guy said, are you okay? And I said, she's okay. And she said, I'm not okay. Because I wanted her to be okay. She was in pain. We thought she broke her wrist. It was just a terrible sprain. It took her to the doctor and they just said, nope, just a bad sprain. Thank goodness. And I realized right then at that moment, I have entered a new phase of my life. I've entered a new phase of my life. Yes, indeed. One that I have to be more aware, that's for sure, and more alert. So you reach that point, you know, and I've got to be more alert. But here are these guys, and I didn't think to myself, what are their politics? What do they believe? What are they this? And you know what? They didn't ask me what my politics were. What do I believe? They were just good people who helped us out, made sure we got to the door okay, and all was well. All was well. There are good people in the world who, regardless of their race, color, creed, doesn't matter, are still there. This is something we should all remember. This is something that we forget way too quickly. And that is what it's about. That's what I believe. Okay? I think that's so vital. Let's not be too quick to judge. I believe in peace and love. I believe in the inherent goodness of humanity, even though there is war and atrocity. My God. When will we learn? We will learn, I'm sure of that. But people like you and me, my friends, we're here for a reason. We're here to spread a word of love and light and have a conscience. That's why we're here. Just let's remember that, okay? I think that's a vital part of we who are into the metaphysical paradigm. That's why we're here. I think that's why I'm here. So I don't say ever, now I can die, because I know I can die any time. But when I do die, I hope it's with a smile on my face and with gratitude in my heart that I have lived a remarkable life. I may not have traveled around the world. I may not have, you know, done a lot of things. But I have lived with love. And I have lived happily. I hope you have too. Smile every day. Laugh every day. There's a lot to laugh about. That's for sure. Get some beads. Run beads through your hand. I have beads with me all the time. I'm actually kind of obsessive about them. All right. Good enough for today. Probably more than good enough. All right. Until next week, I wish you all peace and love. Talk to you later. Bye. And-
Until next we meet, I'll be waiting for you right here in the Paisley Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Welcome to the Paisley Penny Arcade. I am Mo Abdelbaki, and today is Wednesday, the 12th of July. July, yeah. 2023. Oh, the year is just speeding by, isn't it? Isn't it? Already the 7th month of the 23rd year of the 21st century. And to think, just a moment ago, I was in Mrs. Parsons' fifth grade class at Laurel Elementary in Fort Collins, Colorado. Okay, go ahead, those of you listening who want to steal my identity. I won't get you that far. And now that's been a challenge. And they'll go, yes, yes, I can do everything. Well, go ahead. I mean, really, it's the world today. Oh, the world today. Isn't it a sorry place? It's not that bad. It's weird. A lot of strange goings on. There are good people left in the world. There are good people left in the world, which was proven to me recently. Thank you again. You know who I'm talking to. So, what should we talk about today? How's the weather been? How are you feeling? How has your weather been? Wow. To those of you in Vermont, and I know that there are a couple of listeners in Vermont, Montpelier, and Vermont is a destination place. It's a destination state where people go to, like Colorado. People come to Colorado to see the mountains and to, you know, buy rock candy, because we have lots of mountains and lots of rocks, and they make candy that looks like rocks. And it's good. We have saltwater taffy in Estes Park, and of course, I'm not sure what that has to do with the mountains, but it's pretty good stuff. And in Montpelier, Vermont, they have flooding, and that's Vermont is the same sort of thing. A lot of tourism. And this is the most popular time of year to be there. And so, what are they going to do? Because the flooding has been horrible. Montpelier is underwater right now. And of course, in many parts of the country, it is so incredibly hot